Radio Dialect experiencing technical difficulties in that the technical difficulty has left the room. Well, I'm not a presenter, well, there are no presenters here, so I'm going to just give you an intro. This is Radio Dialect. Check out our website, radiodialect.net, where you'll find all our previous programmes. Would you like to take your place at the presenting table? This is Tim Jennings.
We've lost a presenter.
We nearly lost both of them.
Yes, what if I missed? Okay, what's the Thursday the 18th of May? Did you tell them that?
I didn't tell them that.
Well, that's the only news we've got today, actually. But you can guarantee it's true.
That is true. That is true. We're not going to do the Heinz toasted baked bean sandwich.
Okay, we've got quite a few things come up tonight, I believe. Quite a few. I know a few of them. Do you know any of them?
I only know the one that you've got on the bit of paper in your hand.
Right, you do that one then.
Okay, we've got a new correspondent, Anthea Page, has been out to visit the Balmoral, I believe, and its sister ship, the Waverley, which pleasure boats put together in the post-war years, and recently been revived to their former glory, and travelling around, taking visitors around. And here's what Andy Westmore, the chief engineer of the Balmoral, had to say.
I'm on the Balmoral in Bristol Docks, and I'm about to interview Andy
Westmore.
And what role are you? Do you play on the boat?
Chief engineer.
He's chief engineer. Can you tell us what you're doing with the Balmoral and Bristol Docks?
At the moment, we've just come back from dry dock at Sharpness for annual painting and survey work, and we've just come back in now to finish off the remainder of the winter work and sail in about the 23rd of May.
So where will you be sailing?
Well, we go around the whole of the UK doing sailings, but our main period is in between July and September, when we're based on the Bristol Channel, running from Penarth, Clevedon, down to Ilfracombe and places like that. So, and we're out to Lundy Island for time ashore.
So. Oh. Are you anything to do with the Waverley?
Yeah, the Waverley is part of the ship preservation society, and Balmoral runs alongside the Waverley as a supportive member of the group, basically.
Because I think the Waverley was done up last year, wasn't she? Restored in Bristol Docks last year, was it, or the year before?
Waverley currently based in Glasgow, but she does come down to the Bristol Channel in May and June for sailings, the same as what the Balmoral does, and she was refitted out about two or three years ago now. So she is a sight to see. She's very nice and very good. She's a unique ship.
Because this is a very large ship. Do people stay on the boat, or is it just for day trips?
It's just day trips we do. We don't have any passengers to sleep on board, but we do evening cruises as well. So we can, we sometimes have jazz bands, Caribbean bands and things like that. And we do charters as well. If people want to charter the ship, they can have wedding anniversaries and things like that, basically. So
could you have a nice dinner on board one evening if you wanted to celebrate an anniversary? Or?
Yeah, we have. We're sat in the dining saloon now. This saloon was refitted two or three years ago, and we have a seating for up to 70 at a time here. So we do a full range of hot food.
What sort of age group would you cater for?
Any age group. We have a day out for pensioners as well, and we also run. We have no age limit. Everyone's welcome to come. So, and you can either buy your tickets on board the ship, or you can buy them from our Glasgow office.
Right.
And we have agents around, and from tourist information centres also sell tickets on our behalf, and where you can pick up sailing brochures. So.
And how many people would this ship hold on a normal passage?
Well, it depends on where the ship is and where it's trading, but basically it can take up to 500.
500? That's an enormous amount of people. And do they eat on board, or is it just a bar?
No, there's the dining saloon here where we are now, and there's a bar forward, and there's two bar areas, and there's a souvenir shop and an observation lounge. So there's plenty of space for everybody.
And where does the boat travel round the UK, roughly?
It goes round the whole of the UK. It starts off this year on the south coast, running out of Weymouth and Swanage, and then we go across to the Thames, We do the Thames for 3 weeks, and then we go round to North Wales through Menai Straits, Isle of Man, Northern Ireland, and then we come back down to the Bristol Channel, which is our main season, from July to September.
And how old is the boat, approximately?
It was built in 1949 by a company in Southampton, Thornycrofts.
Oh, so it is quite old then.
Yeah.
And is it as old as the Waverley, the sister ship?
Yeah, it's only a couple of years in it. Waverley's a bit older by about 3 years, so there's not much in it. So
it's got a very long history. And do you have a good record of the history of the ship?
Yeah, well, the society, Balmoral was run alongside the Waverley, and it's quite heavy. Well, it's part of a society of enthusiasts, so there's quite a good record of what pictures and documentation of the ship, as well as what we have on board. So,
do you find families, generations of families, coming on board? You know, grandfathers who've been on the ship, and then they tell their children about it, and the children come on the ship. Do you find it's very much a family affair?
It can be. We've had, in my case, we've had a lady that came on, and her father was the chief engineer when the ship was new, and she was made up that she could see where her father worked all those years ago, and she bought photographs of her father on the ship when it was new. So there is an interest from all parts, really, all ages, really. So this is good.
So a lot of sentimental interest in the ship.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's built in 1949, so it could probably bring a lot of memories back to a lot of people, and those that can't remember or weren't around, it gives them a chance to see if something of 1940s or 50s style ship.
And is it popular with the foreign tourists?
It is. It's open to anybody. I mean, this year the ship is going across to, once we're on the south coast, it's going to Rotterdam and Calais. So it's the second time the ship's been on international voyage, but we're not actually carrying passengers across the English Channel, but we actually are running trips out for and a static role in Rotterdam for 6 days. So your answer question about do we have foreign visitors, we've actually going foreign ourselves for the first time.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much indeed, and good luck on your first voyage.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Anthea Page talking to Andy Westmore, the chief engineer of the Balmoral. Okay, also coming up tonight, we've got, coming up next, in fact, we have got a very interesting feature, actually. We've got a custom sort of flyer. It's something you can check out on the web. If you live in St. Paul's and Easton, it's something you want to check out. www.visiteastside.co.uk/walk. It's free MP3 downloads to guide you through Easton and St. Paul's with multicultural voices, cutting-edge music, and adventurous food and specialist shops. And we've got the lady who's responsible for that in the studio in a second. Also, we've got a new volunteer, Selena, who's been talking to a man from Pakistan, a man from Uganda, about what they think of the new Britishness test. But we've got some music coming up next. It's the Pixies and Weird at School. We'll be right back.
and that was Weird in School by the Pixies. Now we have got Trish Cavalli from Visit Eastside Project to talk to us about the downloaded tours that you download on MP3, and you can visit Eastern and St Paul's various cafes, artists, specialist shops around the area. And we should be having some downloads that... which we'll be playing later, which will basically demonstrate what's out there on the internet. So, hi Trish.
Hello.
So, what is this project and who are you working with?
The project is a BEST project, which is Bristol Eastside Traders, and they're set up to promote and help to regenerate the east side of the city, and that includes St Paul's and Eastern. And that part of the city often gets a very bad press. And yet there's amazing stuff happening there. And the tours are aimed at people who live outside of those areas, so people who live in other postcodes around Bristol, who often say, well, I hear interesting stuff's happening there, but I don't know where to go, don't know how to start. So the tours are kind of an introduction for people, really.
Okay, so you're kind of, you're kind of trying to improve the perception of the area to outsiders. How have you kind of... done that through the MP3s themselves?
I think it's kind of to balance the view, actually, because often it's just the negative stuff that gets reported in the press, so it's to kind of balance that out, really. There are amazing award-winning restaurants and cafes in Eastern. There's specialist food shops, there's incredible history and community stuff happening in St Paul's, and that stuff doesn't always get front page coverage. So the idea is to get people from those areas themselves. So the voices that you hear on the MP3 downloads are people who live in the area, people who work in the area, they're musicians. All the music on both tours, and there's lots of music on there, is all music that's made by local people and local community, and local residents rather, talking about the area they live in. There's bits of history in there, but it's not a dry history walk around those areas.
Okay, so we're going to be listening a little bit to the tours in just a moment. All of the music on there is local, as you just said. So is there a way that this can kind of help regenerate the area by actually people being able to buy this music later on?
I mean, one of the main things about the idea of having the tours is to get people into the area, to actually get them walking around, to get them visiting the restaurants, going to the shops, seeing what it's like, listening to the music, and then find out more about the music, and then, yes, ideally buying the music. So the whole idea is people will, you know, that's how we start to regenerate, isn't it, is to buy, actually go into those areas and spend our money in there.
Yeah, and on the topic of money, mm-hmm. One of the things I was thinking was, can you actually do the tour without spending any money? I mean, it's all kind of revolved around the businesses in the area. Would you be able to do this for a weekend where you were feeling a bit skint?
It's absolutely perfect for that. There's absolutely no obligation to. You don't have to kind of run in and say, I'm doing the MP3 download, you know, I have to spend money. There's two ways you can do it. If you don't have an MP3 player, but you do have speakers on your computer, you can just play it and listen to it. Mm-hmm. But ideally, what we want people to do is to go out, walk around the area. But no, the whole tour is done so that you can just walk around. It just guides you around, basically. It takes you from place to place. Not all shops on there. We've got a poet. We've got two performance poets that have written pieces about St Paul's and about Eastern. There are community workers talking about the area. So, no, you absolutely don't have to spend a penny whilst you're doing it. That's the great thing about it. It's summer. There are late evenings, really nice afternoons. Download it, run off and do it.
Excellent. Well, we'll be hoping to hear some of that in just a moment. I think maybe first we'll go to a track, and then is it alright if you hang around a little bit and I'll ask you a few more questions?
Sure.
In just a short while.
Okay.
like speed on the heat. And the sound of your breathing makes even the heat down. And the sound of your breathing makes even the heat down. Crowd.
Place, you know, with nice community spirit.
I just think it's a really wide range, and because it's really colourful.
Yeah, quite good place, yeah. Oh, you can get everything in here. There's a very nice place.
I just think, I don't know, it's just local and it's friendly.
Today we're taking you on a guided tour of Easton, giving you the chance to experience some of the best of what the area has to offer. We'll start on St Mark's Road, famous for its shops and cafes, where you can buy virtually any food or spice from around the world. Then to Stapleton Road, Bristol's most diverse shopping street. We'll then return to St Mark's Road, where we'll invite you to grab a bite to eat in one of the cafes or pubs before heading home.
Okay, so now we're hearing a little bit of what the download is. So if people want to just grab this download, where do they find it?
You need to go to the Visit East Side website, which is a little sort of side shoot of Bess, really. And the website address is visiteastside.co.uk/walk.
Okay, that's excellent. So just to let you know, that's www.visiteastside.co.uk/walk, and that's where you get all the music, all the contact details for all the music, everything to do with that should be on the website. We were just listening to, before that, Ben Sinister, When Your Own Skin Makes You Forget. I think we'll be going back to listening to a little bit more of the downloads, but I'd just like to say, Trish, thanks very much for coming in. And we hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
Internet Current Affairs programme on Radio Dialect at Trinity Radio.
Radio Dialect.
Radio Dialect.net.
Look who's crawling up my wall. Black and hairy, very
And now we're going to be listening to a little more of the East Side Project tours that we were talking about earlier.
There's lots of creativity in Easton, and throughout the tour we'll be playing you music ranging from hip-hop to Bangra. All the pieces featured are written, produced or performed by musicians living in Easton. And contact details for all the musicians, businesses and organisations we're going to visit can be found on the Visit Eastside website. Before we set off, some nuts and bolts. Now, there are no big concrete car parks in Easton, but there are plenty of options in the residential streets around St Mark's Road. But please be considerate and park safely. Also, you'll be crossing a number of roads on this tour, so please stay alert. Remember to take the chance to stop and shop at any of the local businesses we visit. Keep a particular eye out for new kinds of foods. You can always ask the business owner for advice if you'd like to try something new. Easton, like any area, has its challenges, but you'll find a genuine community feel here. So relax and enjoy your time. And remember, you can pause the tour at any point if you need more time at a particular venue. We'll start our walking tour at Cafe Maitreya on the corner of St Mark's Road and Berwick Road, so please make your way there now. If you're not there already, pause the tour and play again when you're standing outside the restaurant.
Right, OK, we're back at Radio Dialect. That was, of course, I think the marvellous Visit Eastside.co.uk. Yeah.
Friendly place, you know. With
communities and all that, localisation. Anyway, now we've got a relatively new volunteer, Selina. Hi, Selina.
Hello.
OK, you'll bring us a feature, aren't you? We'll sort of just introduce it ever so slightly. It's tell us about it.
The first feature I think we're going to do is about slavery and about the movement which is asking for an apology 200 years after the abolition of slavery. This feature was actually done by Vanessa Whiteley, who was a very active member of the anti-apartheid campaign during the 70s and 80s, and is still to this day incredibly interested in black rights and in the people involved within those movements, and especially with the movement at the moment to have an apology for slavery.
And you've also there's also that British test that they're mooting around at the moment, isn't it? They're going to impose in education.
Yes, this was a report that I did. I spoke to Abina Sanoga, who has featured many times in the Evening Post, a young Ugandan asylum seeker. She has already had to sit the citizenship test, which asks the two questions: what is significant about Brahms' fourth movement? Now, I'm not sure if any of us could answer that question, so I think it is very hard for an asylum seeker to be asked that. The other question is, and I wonder what relevance it has towards it being an active member of British society, It's the thickest, awful, thinnest weight stripe of the Union Jack placed at the top. Manet is a young postgraduate student from Pakistan. He has very mixed feelings about Britain, although he doesn't think it's as Islamophobic as many other Western countries, and feels a more stringent moral framework would benefit the youth of Britain.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's have those features. Say, it's all on the fly here at Radio Dialect, so I'm going to waffle on. I'm watching techies and they're scrabbling around and there's fingers going everywhere. There's gestures. It's like they're Italian. It's like watching Italians trying to...
Bristol's only internet current affairs programme on Radio Dialect at Trinity Radio.
Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio, radio, radio on. On.
Ugandan, who has been living in Britain for 4 years and is celebrating her 21st birthday on Saturday. I'm speaking to her about the recent controversy over the slavery issue in Bristol. And to begin with, I want to ask Rubina, what does she think of asking the people of Bristol to apologise for the slave trade?
I don't think it's necessary to apologise, because this slavery happened a long time ago, and people who were affected also died a long time ago, although they are their daughters are here, or grandsons. They can't accept the apology because it's not going to help. They did what they did, and then they can just do it something different, but apology, I don't think it can help them.
When you say do something different, would you think it was a good idea for people in Bristol to pay for either a museum in Bristol or to send money to some of the African nations in to say sorry for what they're doing, so that the money could be used towards something useful?
Okay, yeah, they can give some money to the museum, but how is this money going to be distributed to all those people who are affected by the slavery? Because it's not like everyone is going to give in an account and say this money goes to this person and this person and this person. It's not. It's gonna. If it is going to benefit, it's going to benefit one type of group or just different people.
And what about the idea of educating people about slavery? Maybe the money could go towards that.
Yeah, that can do, but no, are you going to educate the whole country? Or you're going to educate just a few people? Because you can't educate the whole country or everybody who wants to study or to learn. So it's either going to benefit part of the people and not all of them.
Well, if there was a museum or something, people could go to the museum to see what slavery was all about.
Yeah, they can go, but then they just, like, it makes them get more angry about what happened. Okay, they can learn something, but at the end of the day, they are going to be angry with those people who did it.
So do you think in that case that this argument's divisive between people? It causes people to be angry with each other?
Yes, it does cause people to be angry, because if they see the museum every time, they go back, they have to, like, remind them or talk about what happened, which was a long time ago. So it's a good idea for other people, and it's not a good idea for others, because people just get angry of what happened to their country, of what people did. And some people don't care, they just want to see what happened, like history.
Thank you, Drabina, that's really helpful. Is part of the Emancipation Committee called Bethanay Unite. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And what is it that Bethanay is actually seeking for?
Bethanay is an organization that was created to celebrate Emancipation Day. Emancipation Day is a celebration which is celebrated to freedom from slavery, being emancipated free.
And as part of that, you're seeking for this apology. Who exactly is it that you want to apologize?
Well, basically, we are seeking an apology from the people in power, really, the government. Just recently, France has apologized for their part in slavery by having a day to commemorate the freedom of the abolishment of slavery, and which is highlighted by giving a public holiday.
Oh, right, because a lot of people believe it's the people of Bristol that you want to apologise, and that's caused a lot of confusion, because some people say, well, we didn't actually have anything to do with that.
That's true, because it's not us, really. It's not the people of Bristol. It's our foreparents who were a part of the slave trade. And because of that, because Bristol was a main area that had a major part to play in the slave trade, we thought that it would have been a nice gesture that it start from Bristol and gradually go down.
Because Liverpool's already apologised, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And we just actually take up that opportunity to actually seek that apology.
But I've also heard that you're seeking for reparation. Is that so?
Not really payment, not in terms of monetary form, but actually an apology or some form of significant monument, in terms of probably a statue, or probably as France did, a holiday, a public holiday, or in that sense.
What about those people who say that there should be a museum set up in Bristol, as they did in Liverpool?
That would be an exciting, excellent idea to have that. You can have it from all point of views. You understand? Once it's something that would actually say, okay, that's a monument there to actually say the abolishment of slavery, and we are sorry, It could take different shape and form, really.
What about those people who say that Bristol's already covered by the Empire Museum, which is to do with the imperialist nation and imperialism in?
Yes, that's already there. To actually that depicts of our origin, which is like from the Caribbean, the Commonwealth and Commonwealth nations, which were involved in slavery, which were which had an impact in the such as the West Indies, and the Commonwealth Museum was actually set up to actually depict some of the artifacts from the Caribbean and the West Indies, really. So it's two different things.
Right. What about some people say that rather than spending time and energy on this particular thing, seeking an apology or reparation for slavery from the past, that money and time should go towards ending slavery that exists around the world today?
That's a big issue as well. But right now we are looking at England, and we do know slavery still exists in many forms throughout the world. But at the moment, legislation has it that slavery has been abolished. And if it has been abolished, then we are seeking some form of payment, in terms, not really payment, but an apology, really, to say, yes, we acknowledge slavery as abolished. We acknowledge the fact that you have been through this, your forefathers have been through that, and we are sorry. And this is, in that sense, we will actually go into a different direction, actually being feeling some form of fulfillment within ourselves.
Okay.
It has come to Dalek's attention that in the 1990s there was already an apology at the rededication of Bristol's maritime flag. This apology took a part in front of all the assembled dignitaries. However, people seem to have forgotten this.
Mm, indeed. And we apologise as well for the sound quality of the first part of that that feature. We actually speeded the tape up to save time. I'm sure that's what Donald Rumsfeld would have said. Anyway, coming up next is Jeff Dart after this jingle.
Radio Dialect is your local internet radio station. Check our website on radiodialect.net.
Radiodialect.net. Radiodialect.net.
Radiodialect.net.
Twenty seconds, everybody. It's now, I think. That was funny. Okay, coming up now, it's your What's On Guy with Jeff Sparks.
Thank you, Tim. Good evening, this is your weekly What's On Guide from Radio Dialect. Let's kick things off with tomorrow night, and at Joe Publix, which is at Beacon House, Clifton Triangle in Bristol, the Cuban Heels will be performing. The gig should start around 9 p.m, and entry is free before 10 p.m. Also tomorrow night, and this time at the Fleece and Firkin in Bristol, the Communicators will be performing. Now this ska band features 10 members, and they play originals and covers. Tickets are £7 in advance, with the gig starting around 9 p.m. Finally, for Friday night, and at the Polish Club in Bristol, the folk rock group Babel will be performing, with support from The Race. Tickets are £5 in advance, and doors open at 8 p.m. Moving on to Song of the Week, and the honours go to local folk rock group Babel. This is the track Pearl Street Raga.
Told you.
That was Babel with Pearl Street Raga. For more information on this group, you can check them out at www.babelmusic.co.uk. Moving on to Saturday night, and at the Prom Bar at Gloucester Road in Bristol, the ever-popular local group Flash Harry will be performing. Doors open at 8:30pm, and entry is £4 on the door. Also on Saturday night, and at the Lakota, which is at 6 Upper York Street in Bristol, the local seven-piece drum and bass group Blackout will be performing. This will be part of a benefit night for Big Issue. Finally, on to Sunday night, and at the Star and Garter in St Paul's, Bristol, the popular female vocalist Rita Lynch will be performing. The gig should start around 9pm, with entry being £3 on the door. That's all from me tonight. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend. Take care, and good night.
Radio Dialect is your local internet radio station. Check out our website on radiodialect.net.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Right, next up, we've got our weekly recipe wonder from the wonderful Martian. I wish your name began with a W, then that would have been great alliteration.
There. Yeah, you could have used an adjective.
I don't think we're allowed to broadcast
I don't think we would have been allowed.
What culinary genius have you come up with this week, then, Martian?
I've got the perfect crispy duck.
The perfect crispy... there's a Chinese around my corner that does...
This isn't Chinese style. I mean, the Chinese one uses all sorts of concoctions to... Bring the fat out of the skin, but there's a foolproof way to get the fat out of the skin before you actually roast it. What you do is you get your duck breast. It doesn't matter how fatty it is. The fattier the better, really. That's where all the flavour is.
It's always the way.
And just what you want to do is make a crisscross of fairly deep cuts into the fat, all the way down to the flesh.
Right.
And like I said, crisscross and rub a bit of salt in there and. Some oil, obviously, could help the salt along. Now, the key is that you cook it pretty slowly in a frying pan or a skillet.
Right.
Fat side down. Now, what you're doing is you're rendering the fat.
What's rendering?
Rendering is turning that solid fat into a liquid fat that's, liquid at the heat that you can pour off, and that's the key. You pour off all the fat.
I thought we were making this as fatty as possible.
No, you start with... You're not worrying about the fat, because you're going to get all the flavour in the cracking.
Okay, right.
And it will just gradually... It will render down, pour it off. Now, when I did this last weekend, I did this about three times.
Who did you do this for?
Richard was often my victim.
Richard, the tech geek?
Yeah.
And what was Richard's opinion of it? Richie, how was the duck, before we go any further?
It was lovely.
Okay, right, you can carry on then, in that case.
It was lovely.
So you do that until you've got basically all the fat's gone and you've just got a crispy, crackling bit. Now, then obviously the bit that's facing you is still raw.
Yes.
So you pull off all the fat. Now, at this point, this is where it gets a bit lardy, because you get a really nice chunk of butter and cut it into cubes and throw it in.
But why do you need to put the butter in if you've just got all this fat that you've chunked out?
It's this French thing,
thing.
It's basically to give it a
you
bit
mean
of colour.
Wanky.
Well, I don't know about that. Having tasted the results, this is quite good. So it's going to give it a bit of flavour, and you're also going to use that butter in the sauce later on.
Okay.
Right, so then you turn the heat up nice and high, get some colour all over. In general, you've got to effectively seal the fillet of duck. And you've got a hot oven at this point.
How hot?
About 200.
Okay, I have a Raven. Is that hot enough?
Yeah, okay. just hot. I mean, you're only going to leave it in for a very short amount of time, because it's half cooked through, pretty much, by this point.
So it just needs...
I'm jealous of you with your Raven, actually.
I'd much rather have an Argo.
Oh, well, they're the same thing, really, aren't they?
No.
No?
No, you don't know that they're not the same thing until you've had both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Argo's are far superior. But anyway...
Okay, right, back to the recipe.
Let's carry on with the
recipe. Where were we? Okay, yeah, you've got your hot oven.
Hopefully.
And hopefully you've got a frying pan that will go in the oven, because that's the easiest. You take it off the heat, stick it in the oven. And if you haven't, then, keep a roasting tin hot in the oven so that you can just pour the whole thing in. And then...
Do you need to cover it?
No, just stick it in there 10 minutes.
Right.
You just go 10 minutes in a hot oven, then take it out. It's very important to rest it. If you were to cut into it at that point, you'd find the top half of it is grey, the bottom half of it is very pink,
right.
And it's going to be quite tough.
Okay.
If you let it rest, then the colour will even out through it, and it, with 10 minutes you should get a nice even pink.
Okay.
So like a nice...
Should.
Yeah, it should, but you know...
I'll report back next week. You might have to experiment.
It's got to be very quick. A very quick final thing. Now take it out of the oven. Be very careful. Don't do what I did, and that's completely forget that it's been in the oven and burn your hand by grasping the handle.
I've done that before.
You take the oven. The duck's taken out. It's resting, and into the butter you pour a good load of pork. Basically, about 100 mils of pork.
Yeah. Sweet or dry? Is pork sweet or dry?
I used a vintage pork, yeah, but you can use any pork.
Yeah.
The vintage ones are obviously better.
Of course.
And.
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence.
Come on.
Oh, no.
Focus.
I know, yeah. So basically. I've forgotten it now.
You take it out of the oven without burning
yourself. Out of the oven, pour the pork in the butter, 100 ml of chicken stock, reduce it down to about a third, pour it onto the duck.
Hey, presto.
And you're listening to the sound bed of The Bad Plus, who are on at Bath Music Festival next week in the pavilion. I'm going to see them. They are fantastic. Thanks,
bye-bye.
It's been Radio Dialect. Bye.
Thank you.